Greetings, everyone. It is really good to be with everyone. It feels like forever to me. And I have a word. I think I was thinking about this today. This is the first time in a long time that I didn't, you know, usually I'll just kind of meditate before the Lord and he'll give me a word. And this time he just started giving me a word a few days ago. And he gave me, and I was sitting there talking to the Lord about the title to it. And I gave him my option and he didn't like it. He gave me his option. So I'll give it to you in just a minute. Want to pray here just a second. Let's pray. Papa, just want to yield to you. Holy Ghost, I'm 100% dependent upon you, Lord. I need to hear this word. Lord, I just pray that you'd give us discernment. Lord, we just lay everything else aside and open ourselves up to hear something without trying to understand or figure it out in our logical mind, but to be able to hear by the Spirit, that you bear witness to the Word, to the truth. And Lord, help me to bring your Word the way you give it to me. I thank you, Lord, for your such grace is so strong, so powerful. And by faith, we receive that right now, a quickening to us. We thank you, Lord. We yield to you. We yield our hearts to you. In Jesus' name, amen. I've said this before. The human race is the only thing in creation, in all of creation, that gets to choose. If we will come into 100% of our capacity, of our potential. You know, if you plant an acorn, that acorn is going to grow into a great tree dependent on the nutrition it gets, the sunshine, the water, and soil and so forth that it gets, but it has no choice. It's going to reach its complete potential. Even if it's restricted by not having good soil, it's going to reach all the potential even it has in that. It will be dwarfed of what it could have been, but it won't change it at all. It's programmed to do it. It's in its DNA. And it's like that for every plant and every other animal, but the human race is the only thing that can choose not to. And we do. So it's a human nature. It's a fallen nature, really, but it's the human nature to settle. Just to settle and be comfortable. And for whatever is comfortable, to whatever is easier. You know, especially after you've done some things, you know. I tell you what, you live life, even in your young life, and, you know, you raise a family. I mean, raising kids ain't no joke now. It'll take something out of you. If you raise a crowd like I did, it'll take something out of you now. And opening a business, that's no joke either. I've had several. Some worked, and some didn't. but what can happen is people will come to a place of whatever they're doing, achievement, and then they will settle in the natural. And for them to move past that, they've got to stir themselves up to do it. Oh, I'm going to go get some more training, or I'm going to do this or that. Or I'm going to find out how to be a better dad or a husband or a wife or, you know, whatever. And depending on that person's gifts that are being given to them, you know, I've worked a lot of men, and in building homes and running a carpenter crew and as a general contractor, and I had some men I could spend time with, and I just realized that they're going to be able to, they got a ceiling. And even at the best and that they choose, this is their ceiling, it's right there. And then I got other people, I mean, within a day or two, they have exceeded all that. And they become incredibly good and gifted and skilled. And not only that, then they begin to realize what they can be. And they apply themselves and they achieve these things. But at some point, we'll settle. And it's just in our nature, just what we're like, you know. So, you know, it might be, it's like an oak tree, you know, inside of that acorn is the DNA. There's a map in there. This is where it's going. This is where it is. How are we going to get to that? I need water and I need sunshine. I need nutrients in the soil. And so it's the same way for us. You know, way back in my early days, I've traveled a lot in my lifetime, but in my early days, I'd travel across the country, around the country, and sometimes I'd thumb it, but I like driving better. And you know, back in the old days, we didn't have GPS. We had this thing called the map. You know, everybody on here that's on here live right now knows what I'm talking about. But we had, you know, we'd like, okay, I got to stop somewhere and get a map. And there'd be a rack of maps. You can't find that nowhere now. And, well, you maybe you can, but I hadn't seen it. But, you know, the thing about traveling, sometimes you get out there traveling and, well, I need a new map. If you're going across the country, you have a map of the United States. That's really not going to help you. You need one from state to state. And so I would buy these maps as I go. And, you know, sometimes I'd have to say, okay, here's where I want to go. I want to go, this is my destination, over there. And how am I going to get there? Well, first I got to know where I am. So I got to look on the map. So I might have to say to the person I got the map from, where am I on this map? I've done that. Because, you know, you run out your map you had and you just drive a while. And then you know you need to keep going down this highway to a certain degree. Then you'll stop somewhere and get a new map. Well, you got to know where you are. And then see where how much further you need to go to get where you want to be. And see, there's a map inside of us. By the Spirit, there's a map. You know, there's also this map in the natural, what, depending on the gifts and talents and so forth that we've been given. And some of us had to work harder. I was one of those that had to work harder because I wasn't super talented in just about anything. So I had to apply a lot of hard work to it. It's different in the spirit realm. In the spirit realm, though, you have a map. See, you have this map, and the goal, where we're traveling to is not heaven. We're going to go there anyway. That's happening. Where we're going to is what it talks about in Romans 8, starting in about verse 18. I didn't pull it up, but it's just all of creation groans together, depending on what version you're reading. Travailing together, waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God to be revealed. Waiting for the children of God to manifest who they really are. And it's waiting for us. We've got information about it. We're being taught about it all the time. Ernestine does Bible studies. And it's going towards that goal, you know. Also, in Colossians, there's scriptures there, you know, till we grow into the full stature. A total manifestation of Jesus Christ. So that's part of our destination. But to get to the destination, you got to know where you are now. So, but the, here's the thing, the moment that you settle, the moment we settle for what is comfortable, we cease, we stop being transformed. And it's the same in the natural. The moment someone settles, they stop growing on this journey of what their potential is. In the spiritual, in the kingdom of God, the moment that we settle for what is comfortable, we stop being transformed. So this is my title. I wanted to call it Don't Settle. And as soon as I said, Lord, I'm going to call this Don't Settle. He said, no. He said, I want you to call this Stop Settling, because it's too late for Don't Settle. And I said, well, I know you're talking to me too. And so the title, Ernestine, is Stop Settling. The moment that we, I'm going to put that in here. I want you to see it. The moment that we, I've got it already. Let's see if I can, got no sense to put it into your notes right there. I think I can do that, can't I? Is that called chat? Yeah, that's chat, isn't it? Okay. Let's see if I got it. Oh, I don't have nothing. Pardon me, let me grab this note. The moment we stop settling, there it is. Back over here to Zoom. The moment we stop settling, we settle. The moment we settle for what is comfortable, we stop being transformed. That's what happens in the kingdom. You can't figure it out. I'm still reading the word. I'm still doing some worship. I'm leading a Bible study. I'm in a Bible study. I'm attending all the services. I'm feeling a little bit dry. I can't quite understand. I can't put my finger on it. You cease to be transformed. Be being transformed. We must continually be being transformed. And, you know, it's sort of like, a helicopter is really hard for a helicopter to glide. And that's kind of what we are. Once you stop climbing, then it begins to float down. And so the moment we settle for what is comfortable, we stop being transformed. Romans 2. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Because we check out. We just check out of being transformed because we settle. You can't settle and sit back and say, okay, I'm going to take it easy. I'm still going to do this and this and this, but you cease to have those encounters. You may have had some revelation in the love of God. You may have had some experiences, seen some signs and wonders, had opportunities have come up where you were able to minister to people. People got born again, filled with the Holy Ghost, spoke in tongues, and they began to grow. But you've had those, but you're not continuing to have those. You no longer are having encounters. You're no longer experiencing His love. You just kind of settle. I know where I'm going. I'm everything's good now. You know, in the natural, it's like, okay, I'm set up now. I got my 401k. I got my Social Security coming in. I mean, I can just relax, and we're not built for that. I'm telling you, we're not built for that. And but the moment we settle, we check out of the renewing part. So you can't be transformed if you're not being renewed by being transformed by the renewing of your mind. We check out of the renewing of the mind. It has stopped. And once you do that, you see it once you've settled and you checked out. It doesn't matter. You can still read the Word, study the Word, worship, you know, attend the meetings, blah, blah, blah. And I'm not saying you don't get any benefit from it. You do. But it's not the same. It's really, really limited. You've limited yourself and you limited Him. So, you know, it goes back to stop settling. And what's happened in the body of Christ in America is we've been conditioned to settle, to be content in some things and just stop and settle. One reason that we stop being transformed is because we've neglected that first verse in chapter 12 of Romans. That first verse is, he says, I beseech you, brethren, or I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God. In other words, considering the great mercy we've received, the grace, the love that we have experienced, we've received, and being born again. Considering that, Paul is saying, present yourselves now a living sacrifice, your whole being. I know some versions say present your bodies. Well, that's definitely part of it. But really, it's your whole being, spirit, soul, and body. Present yourselves a living sacrifice. Well, what in the world does that mean? You know, one of the things that happens when you find that you know, when you settled, you've stopped something. It's the daily dying to yourself. Paul says, I die daily. Luke 9:23 in the English Standard Version says, and he said to all of them, Jesus, says, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. You know, we go through stages. I found it's sort of like an ebb and flow. I know it's been that way in my walk, and it's been a little different for me, but it's still somewhat there, that there's ebbs and flows of times of denying yourself and taking up a cross and denying ourselves, die to ourselves. And this is an emphasis throughout the Gospels and in Paul's writing that the Holy Spirit wanted to bring it out. He had it put it all that together in what we have is a Bible emphasized. So what's the key to moving forward from where we are? See, first thing is to see where we are. We've settled. And so how do we move forward from here? Well, go back to the map. And there's two things. I've just came up with two things. I've had to trim this thing down because it was too long, this message. And with the Lord's permission, I've trimmed it. And the first one is to personally respond to Romans 12, verse 1. In light of all the grace and mercy and love that we have received by His choice, His grace, not by what we've done. In light of that, that He's lavished upon us, present our whole being. That's the first step. Present our whole being as a living sacrifice. Lord, here I am, and you know what? I don't know what's been going on, but here's the deal, Lord. I just want to be refreshed and renewed in my total commitment to you, but I'm going to find out what's getting in the way, and I'm going to die to those things. You know, I'm going to die to myself. So much we worry about things. We worry a lot instead of just trusting Him for our welfare. You know, we're concerned about what might happen next, or if it happened to that person, what's going to happen to us? But He's asking us, in light of what He's lavished upon us, present yourselves, your entire beings, as a living sacrifice, daily denying ourselves and taking up a cross to follow Him. Galatians 2:20, Paul says, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I live by the faith of the Son of God. See, you know, funny thing about Paul, Paul was one of the most intellectual and educated people on planet Earth at his time. He didn't depend on any of that. He didn't look to any of that. It's hard to find a really highly educated person that can think that way. The only ones that I have ever met were that way is that they were absolutely given over to Jesus. They were had presented themselves as the living sacrifice. I once met a man who had 3 PhDs. He was a world famous neurosurgeon. He had a PhD in philosophy, which I don't know how that can get him deceived, but anyhow. And he had a PhD in nuclear physics. So he was a physicist. This is a brilliant man. And he moved in such power and authority because he didn't care about none of that. The only thing that mattered to him was Jesus. And that it was, he lived to be with Him. He laid everything else down. So that the first step is that we personally respond to Romans 12, verse 1. And the second thing that I have here, love. You know, the moment we settle, I'm going to go back a minute. The moment we settle, whether it applies to business, or your career, every relationship you have in life, you're coasting there. You know, it's not moving forward. And I'm telling you, when it comes to relationships with your spouse, your friends, you know, whatever, but your spouse and your family, you can lose these things if you don't cultivate it. Okay? These things can get lost. Or they can grow dim, grow greatly dim. But it applies to every kind of relationship. If you know, Kathy and I are such friends with Pastor Ernestine, and we love her, but we had to cultivate our friendship, you know, and our love. I tell Kathy all the time about all. You know, the times that I knew Pastor Ernestine before Kathy came into this picture, I said, you know, Pastor Ernestine would call me at least every 2 weeks when I was in school out in Colorado just to check on me. She's pastoring me then, you know, because she's my friend and I'm her friend. But we have to cultivate that. Well, if you're not cultivating love in your marriage relationship, then there's a problem in your marriage. I'm just telling you. I mean, I've seen marriages where people just, they're so faithful to stay right with each other, but there's no love there anymore. I mean, I had brothers and sisters I went to church with. I mean, they got along, the couple got along fine. They didn't even stay in the same bedroom. And I don't understand that. That's just me. But, I mean, I'm kind of passionate about everything I've ever gotten involved in. But we have to cultivate love. You have to cultivate love with your children. I'm working on doing that with my grown children. My oldest daughter just turned 51. I got another one's going to be 50 next month. My youngest one just turned 31, I think. I can't remember. I got six. I can't keep up with it. But I'm working on cultivating our relationship. I mean, I'm keeping them communicating with each other on Zoom every Sunday because they're spread out across the country. You know, we have to cultivate this thing, this love relationship. And we have to keep ourselves in the love of God. It's not enough. You know, Pastor Ernestine has brought us, I'm ready for another one, by the way, Pastor. But she's brought us some really, really, really good messages on the love of God. And as much as she has received, she's ministering out of what she's received. That's why it's got so much wind on it, you know. It's got, when I say wind, it's you know, it's got the anointing on it. It's got life in it because she's experienced that. This is out of what she's experienced. But no matter what, if she's not encountering him, it can get dry. You can't depend on what was. I can't look back and depend on what was, you know, what I've experienced and my encounters. And Kathy and I, neither one of us, we can't do it. Sometimes I just sit down and look Kathy in the eye. We just look each other in the eye. And I'm just telling her how much I love her and I appreciate her. And I don't ever want to be without her. I'm not interested in sharing her with her first husband that passed away when we get to heaven. I ain't interested in that. We're going to have a talk when I get there. I'm a pretty good negotiator. Anyway, I'm dependent on that. So let me give you a couple of scriptures. You know, I just told you we need to keep ourselves in the love of God. There's so many scriptures. I mean, so many. I whittled it down some. So we're going to wind this thing up here soon. But Ephesians 3, if you want to go to Ephesians 3, starting in verse 15, English Standard Version I'm reading from, you can, whatever you like to read, you can read from that. But from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named. I can sit here and talk about that a while. Verse 16, that according to the riches of his glory. Now you think about that. He's holding back nothing. According to the riches of his glory, that means nothing withheld. Nothing withheld. No limits. According to the riches of his glory, he may grant to you to be strengthened. So how can you not be? To be strengthened with power through his spirit in your inner being. Verse 17, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. That you, being rooted and grounded in love. So we got to be rooted and grounded. It can't be a place we visit. We've got to be rooted and grounded in his love. Being rooted and grounded in love. Verse 18, may have strength. Another translation says power to comprehend. You know, in Ephesians 1, it says that here's Paul. Listen, Paul's praying here in Ephesians 3. He's praying again in Ephesians 1. And this is so important that the Holy Ghost wanted this brought. He wants this you to see this. He wants me to see it. And in Ephesians 1, it says that I pray that he would give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the intimacy knowledge, in the experiential knowledge of him. So here he's saying that you may have strength to comprehend, spirit of wisdom and revelation. With all the saints, what is the breadth, the length, the height, and the depth, four dimensions of his love? And to know, to encounter, to experience spiritual knowledge, the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that surpasses understanding, that surpasses your logic, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Because you can't be filled, we can't come into that, we can't reach our destination on this map without this right here. That you might be filled with the fullness of God till you come into the full stature of Jesus Christ. In Colossians it says. So we must comprehend with all the saints the four dimensions of his love, the breadth, the length, the height, the depth, to know his love, to experience his love, that you might be filled with the fullness of God. The Apostle Paul and the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, is making this most important to us. If we will do that, we'll keep ourselves in the love of God. We will not settle. Because the more love I experience, the more I want. Because see, in the Spirit, there's no settling. Well, this is enough. No, you know, there's no settling. The more you encounter him and experience him, the more you want. You know, because he's always willing to do more. There's no limits, no limits, no limits. There's absolutely no limits. But there's a warning here that we didn't see. Let me see if I can pull that up. This is why I was supposed to have that extra monitor, and I forgot now. In Jude, I should have put it in my notes, what I should have done. I know that ain't right.
No one's...
Be quiet, lady. I can't talk to you right now. Okay, let's go to the book of Jude. Got one chapter in it. You know, Jude says, but you, and starting in verse 20, says, but you, beloved, building yourself up in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God. Build yourself up, edify yourself. Keep yourself in the love of God. Okay, but there's a warning before that. There's a warning here. Let's go to verse 17. Now, most people think that he's talking about people of the world, heathens. But you must remember, beloved, the predictions of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, that they said, in the last time there will be scoffers following their own ungodly passions. Now, these are, I mean, you don't want to hear this. This is brothers and sisters he's talking about. I see it. It is these who cause divisions. Well, who else would cause divisions? Churches splitting left and right cause divisions. Worldly people. See, we're following because, see, it's not walking in the Spirit. It's walking after your soul. It's what you feel, what makes me feel good, what makes me happy, you know, what makes me feel content, you know, what seems right. The word says, you know, a thing might seem, what seems right to a man is evil, you know, because we don't know. We're supposed to know him. We weren't supposed to know good and evil. We're supposed to know him. But it says here, worldly people devoid of the Spirit. In other words, they have no intention of following the Lord. I've had Christians come up and tell me, look, I'm a Christian, but I don't want nothing to do with that denying yourself stuff. I said, okay, have fun. But you, beloved, building yourself up in your most holy faith. Did I skip something? Ah, yeah, so it goes into verse 20. It says, but see, there's a warning that there are people. You know, what happens is, because I've known many. Listen, I've been doing this over 50 years now, and many of the people that I got born again with, and over subsequent years I saw come and be so excited for the Lord. I mean, following hard after the Lord, be on the worship team with me and all that. And I mean, and all of a sudden they just begin to grow cold, and they're getting so occupied with what's going on in our government or their family. You know, it takes a lot. You know, I said, hey, raising kids ain't no joke. And you get distracted with the cares of this life, and all of a sudden you're not really following after the things of the Spirit. Still coming to the meetings. Turns out we started a church in Chapel Hill, and it grew and grew, and we saw miracles. I'd be leading worship and miracles would be taking place during worship. And all of a sudden it began to get dry. And I was confused. And then somebody came up to me and told me that so many people have gone after the ways of the world. They're embracing, it's okay for some people to be homosexuals. And I mean, how can you be so deceived? Well, here's how you do it. You settle. You get settled and you get dry. So I just gave you the 2 points that will help us avoid that. 2 Corinthians. Wait a minute before I read that. You know, I talked with my buddy Steve Humphrey out in California on Sunday afternoons. And we go back to the beginning, my beginning. He'd been with the Lord 2 years. But we're basically the same age. He's 1 week older than me. We're both 75 now. But we go back to the beginning of, for me, in 1973. And he had a similar encounters. You know, we were both not really good guys. We were not people you wanted around in your neighborhood. You know, and Steve was, you know, a war veteran, a Marine in Vietnam. And I didn't know him beforehand, before I knew the Lord. But one of the things we've talked about is how Christians today, they're not going after experiencing him. And see, when we came to the Lord, I mean, Jesus invaded my world. I didn't have a choice. I mean, I had a choice, but I didn't have a choice. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you probably heard my testimony, but I wasn't searching for him. I wasn't looking for him. You know, he just was looking for me. And I had nothing to offer, nothing good, nothing, nothing good. But what happened is, and I was such a mean, I was mean. I was violent, I was mean, I was a criminal, I wasn't a thief. But I couldn't abide a thief. But see, what happened when I encountered his love, his grace, his mercy, I was transformed. And I didn't care. The only thing I cared about was saying thank you and pleasing him. Whatever I was going to do, I was going to do it unto him. You know, and so really quick, like a week after I got born again, I got a job because I'd never had, you know, it'd been a long time since I've been self-employed in a different industry that you wouldn't want to talk about. Anyway, but I got a job with an old man, old carpenter, on his carpenter crew, and he took me under his wing. But I told him day one, I said, let me tell you something. And he claimed to be a believer. And to me, I didn't know that there were other types of believers other than what I was. So I learned real quick. But anyway, I said, listen, I just want to tell you, you're going to have to teach me from scratch. But I'm going to be the best employee you've ever had or ever will have. Because whatever I'm doing, I'm not looking for raises. I'm not looking for promotions. I don't care about any of that. All I care about is honoring Jesus. I'm going to do, but because I'm going to honor him, you're going to be honored too. And from now on, your business is blessed because I'm here and I'm blessed. And that's true for all of you. You just got to believe that. I did. And his business was blessed. And, you know, I didn't look for any, I mean, he paid me three times what I had ever made. You know, started me out at $3 an hour. So that was like three times any wage per hour that I'd ever made. But, you know, he would promote me and give me raises. And, I mean, and I just applied myself. I just worked hard. He'd had to give it to me because I had no desire for any of it. And he would take me to his home, called me to come over there on Wednesday nights, and he taught me bookkeeping. He taught me how to run the business. And I mean, I'm in my first year. And it was all, I mean, the blessing of the Lord was on me, and I was a blessing to him. And you see, because it was all about being so satisfied in him. I didn't need something else to satisfy me. I wasn't looking for a goal. I had family, had a young family. But I just believed that the Lord was going to take care of us. I didn't care. I really didn't concern myself with things. And so, you know, I was 23 years old. But the Lord he is lavished upon us. And we may have changed something, but he hadn't changed anything. He still desires to lavish upon us. And now I'm going to go to 2 Corinthians 13. I'll close with this. We got the airport. We're making a landing right here. 2 Corinthians 13, verse 14. This is how Apostle Paul ended his final letter to the Corinthians. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. What a blessing. He spoke out a blessing. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Think about those three things. All we have to do, the funny thing is people think, well, I got to make some changes. No, what we got to do is bow our heart. We're going to do Romans chapter 12, verse 1. And I want to say to you all, and I've said to all the pastors that I've, you know, I have contact with and talk to a lot. I always encourage them and every minister, not just the pastors, to some call it altar call. I mean, you know, if you're in a meeting, some people just need to come down to the front and just kneel down and just do their business with the Lord, you know. They don't need to talk to you. They just need to do that. You know, they just need to do that. But I just want to encourage you all to respond to this word because we need to press on. Lay hold of that for which we have been laid hold of. Isn't that what Paul said? Paul didn't say anything about, I want everybody to know how smart I am and how intellectual I am, and I'm going to use such big words they're not going to understand the thing I'm saying. I've been in church that he did that. I'm like, he hadn't communicated a thing all day. But not Paul. I lay hold of that for which he has laid hold of me. I press on to the mark, the high call of Christ Jesus, in Christ Jesus, of God in Christ Jesus. And but we only do that by surrender, yieldedness, presenting our entire being as a living sacrifice. And then we can be renewed, be transformed by the renewing of our mind in His Word, which is not good. It's not real good. It's perfect. Psalm 19. It's in there somewhere. I can't remember exactly where it is. I had it somewhere. Verse 7. It is perfect. It is full of life and it's perfect. But it's sort of like this. I know I said I was going to quit. You know, having gone to Charis Bible College in Raleigh and having get to meet all those people, and all the people, 650 people, I didn't meet them all, but I met a bunch of them in Colorado. One of the things I realized is that most people, I mean like 99%, got about half of what the Lord was offering because of the lens I told you about, how we view, how we receive, and the baggage, what they already believe, what the culture they've been raised up in, church culture or whatever, it hinders you. I'm telling you, it does. But we can turn that around. I mean, I didn't get 100% either. I know if I did, we wouldn't have situations that we have right now. Me and Kathy got a lot. We did. But there's one thing, there's information, and then there's revelation. See? Well, information is good. Revelation is what you got to have to see a manifestation. Okay? So I want to encourage you all to, in your own way, you know, respond to the Lord, present yourselves to Him. And I just want to encourage you in it. This is a word of exhortation. It might not have sounded like I hope it did. Encourage us. Because it's so simple to do. It's two steps. Presenting your whole being and then renewing the love relationship with Him first. I guess I'm finished. I don't know if anybody had any questions or comments or need or whatever.
I just want to say, Robert, I really enjoyed. I learned a lot from your teaching tonight. And it's some things that I think I might have settled with that I need to work on. But you really helped me tonight.
Well, thank you, Jesus. Amen. Me too.
Amen. And me too, Nola. This message word was for me tonight too, because I know I've settled.
Kathy said her too.
Amen. Yes, I got to go get on my knees and seek God even more to get that revelation. But yes, that idea of complacency is so prevalent, you know.
You know what? All you got to do is crawl up in His arms, Rose. You don't get it by striving to get it. You get it by, it says, strive to enter into His rest. Crawl up in His lap. Say, Lord, I've been too busy. That stops right now. By Your grace, not by my strength. By Your grace, Lord.
Yes.
I'm submitting to You. I know You're going to help me. I know You are, because I see it. He's the one told me to bring this message. You know, that's what, I don't know what I'm going to bring. He just tells me, you know, what to do. And I bring it. And it has life in it if we can receive it.
Amen.
It has enabling power if we can receive it. In other words, we don't have to do it. We have to yield to it.
Yield to it, yes.
Yes.
Because He's already done it, you know.
That's what we had in our women's meeting today.
Did you?
Yeah, we did. About the love of God, about working to receive, not working to achieve, but just receiving.
Yes.
Just receiving.
Praise God. That's right.
Because that's what sons and daughters do. They don't have to try to achieve the Father's love. You just receive it.
Yeah. And then you grow into, you know, you were right. You begin to think about on the journey, looking at that map. You grow into it and you encounter, you don't have to wait to the end of the journey.
No.
Because you're encountering it all along the journey.
Yes.
And before you long, you turn around and say, oh, yeah, we're living in it now. Yeah.
Amen. Will you pray with us, Robert?
Absolutely. Well, Papa, just want to thank you, Lord, for your goodness, your faithfulness. Lord, I don't know where I'd be without your faithfulness. I don't know where I'd be without your grace, without your love. Without the communion of the Holy Ghost. I thank you so much. You're so good to us. And it's one thing, Lord, we come to you with a question. You never say, I don't know what you're going to do. I never hear that from you, Lord. I never hear you say, I don't know. I never hear you say a condemning word, an accusing word. I never hear that from you. And I want to thank you for that. Lord, because you do know. You've laid out a path for us. It's coming before you, Lord. And we just do that now. We just bow our hearts to you fresh and anew right now. We don't have to beg for it. We just present ourselves to you, Lord, as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto you. Thank you, Lord. We are blessed. We are your favorite. And we are going to be a sponge for your glory.
Amen.
For your presence. For your presence, for the manifestation of your presence,
Amen.
For your glory, for your love, your grace. And then you squeeze it out of us onto others, Lord. Let it manifest around us, in us and then around us, Lord, as we bow our heart to you, keeping our eyes on you, Jesus.
Yes.
Beholding you. We thank you, Lord. We thank you. We give you thanks. We receive in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen.